Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for this one?
UCR.
So.
We saying what we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, any time, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to Uncensored Radio. I am one of your co-hosts, Miss Karen Ashley, and I have got two fabulosos with me, along with Mr. James D is in the house. How are you, James D?
I am great. How are you?
Great. James is tonight. We have Mr. Jeffrey Emmett in the house. How are you, Jeff?
Hey, y'all. Hey.
Hi, and Mike J is in the house. Hi, Mikey.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Ooh, so you never know with Mike J. You always get somebody new.
God.
I like that, Mike.
A little bit of flavor.
I bet the person who dates you, is like, they like that about you. Because they get, like, a new personality each day.
Multiple personalities.
No, actually, the last one couldn't really keep up, and he thought that, you know, he didn't really particularly care for the fact that I was someone sometimes, and another person another time, and I wasn't being my authentic self. Yeah, there's a little bit of trouble.
Oh,
are you talking about the drug dealer?
Yes, the drug dealer. Yes, the drug dealer. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
Mike, you're dating
the
drug dealer. That is so fascinating.
Stalker from the radio show, Karen.
I miss the disposable income. Is that bad of me that I miss the disposable income that I got from dating the drug dealer? I'm terrible. I'm going to hell.
You are so funny.
Oh, my God.
Did you get any drugs?
Well, you never met him.
Let me tell you what, though. I have a glass top coffee table. I am still trying to get the coke out from underneath that glass. It is a real bitch. And it's like a year later.
Oh, damn.
This fool. Okay, speaking of Mr. Mike J and his crazy antics, tell me how he calls me to tell me about how he had to drive on this crazy road that was closed and something happened, and I need y'all's opinion because this bitch has got problems. Mike, could you please relate to them a story?
Okay, well, you guys all know what I do during the day. I go out and I do claims adjusting. Well, I had to get to this one person's house, and it turns out in somewhere in bumfuck Massachusetts, they live on a road that's closed for the wintry half of the year, but, you know, I have to go anyway. So I'm driving along in my little Ford Focus, hoping that I'm not sliding down this mountain road. But, you know, the thought did occur to me that if I did happen to, and I don't even know how Jeff and I got talking about this, but if my car happened to go off the road and it was snowing on the way down so that I could just die a nice peaceful death of hypothermia, rather than have to, like, get out of the car through the windshield and climb back up the mountain and then try to find a cell signal or walk to the nearest house.
Do you not understand what he's telling you? Are you picking up?
I'm not from a cold place, so I don't get it fully. Keep going.
No, he's talking about he would rather die than have to climb out of the car and walk up the hill and get cell service. So he just assumed that.
Oh, God. He's very bougie that way. He doesn't, you know.
Well, yeah. All right. I guess the equivalent to California would be if you were driving along the Pacific Coast Highway and your car flew off and got kind of mangled and stuck on some rocks, would you rather that you were knocked unconscious and the car just tumbled into the ocean and you drowned unconsciously, or if you were awake and had to, like, break out one of the windows and climb up the mountain and, you know, be dangling by one hand or something?
Well, I don't want to die, so
I'd
guess I'll
die.
Go for the dangling by one hand.
You know, I'd rather die fighting for my life than to
right.
just give up.
I don't want to die. It's not giving up.
You're unconscious.
Whatever the choice is where I don't die, that's what I want. I want the choice where I don't die.
Because you're hoping to be unconscious.
Exactly.
When you're not saying, like, you're not saying that you're going to wake up and be a paraplegic and you got to, like, gimp up the hill with your arms and claw to death. You're talking about you too fucking lazy to climb up the hill.
If there are any paraplegics listening to this show, do not write us letters. We're just painting a picture.
Make sure you stay tuned because the second part of Chris Beat Cancer is coming up next.
We are going to hell in a handbasket. I'm just going because I'm associated with you guys.
I would put it to you this way, Mr. Jeffrey Emmett, and this is maybe a way that you can relate to. If you were going down in an airplane over the ocean and there were sharks below.
You struck a chord with it, Mike.
Would you? I know how to play this fucker. Would you rather be knocked unconscious as the plane is going down so you don't get to feel the drowning and the sharks chewing on you and just go out unconscious, or would you rather be awake to try to fight your way out of the plane and swim out the little door into a raft while the shark is circling?
Here's the thing. It depends on the situation. Are we talking about I get knocked out right before they know we're going down so that at no point am I aware that we're going down?
He's talking about the plane is nosediving, and you can stay conscious, or you can stay awake and fight your way through the fire.
People talk about media and movies ruining children. I think they have, because I don't know about the rest of you fools, but I saw Titanic. There was room for two on that little raft, okay? They could have balanced it out. Jack could have lived. Rose, it has to be the big-headed whale-ass on the thing and then killing Jack, okay? I will get my ass up on a piece of that plane
and float my
ass home, okay? I would not be getting eaten by no shark. I'd be screaming like a bitch, I'm going to float my ass home, or I'm going to end up in Cuba, whichever comes first.
Okay, then let me ask you this one. We'll take it a step further. Would you rather die as the plane is going down or live like one of those people in the TV show Lost?
I don't know. Lost seems kind of entertaining.
I'd rather live. At least the Lost people
rather
have to have sex.
I would rather stick around because at least Ian Somerhalder is on Lost, so I would stick around for the first season. You know,
yeah, it was some pretty hot people
off.
On the Lost Island.
Yeah, they kicked them off.
Well, Mike, and you've
got to
think
really
that way. There's not going to be that many people left, so hopefully there's more males than females, so the females can get partnered up, and that just leaves more males for me.
That's true. It'd be like in that book, Lord of the Flies.
Oh, God.
Or maybe it's a benefit, like us females, we have like three men for each female. Instead of sister wives, we can have like brother wives or whatever.
One for
brother
each
husband.
Of you and 10 for us.
Why is it that you guys need like 10 and we only get one? You think
Girl,
a woman can handle 10
island.
Men?
We are on a stranded island. I need my options open.
Yeah, and look, if you're on a stranded island, wouldn't you rather it only be with one guy, because then you know for sure who the father's going to be? If you got 10 of them, how are you going to know who your baby daddy is?
I don't think that's the least of our worries.
It's not like we can call Maury.
I think that is the least of our worries. Like, we need to repopulate the world, so I just need to be, you know, I just need to be getting down.
We're going to be siblings, and it's going to be... Not good.
We'll put you with Dr. Jack. Dr. Jack will take care of you.
Thank you. But you know what? I feel like the woman, we would need options too. I obviously have to repopulate the world. I don't want all the kids to be brothers and sisters. I need to have some cousins so that they can mate, you know?
Oh, my God.
I know.
Yeah,
it's all a tangle web we weave.
We already
now,
got
Katrina
one
was there.
It's horrible. Why would you want...
deserted island, what would we do? Because she'd break all the rules.
She would figure out a way to take coconut milk and turn it into alcohol. Thank God. And I'll tell you what. I would be searching that island for a plant. I would try to smoke every last one of them till I find one that did something. Because you cannot leave me on an island for the rest of my life with no mind-altering substances. I could not do it.
But what would you do when you got the munchies? What would you do when you got the munchies and all you have is
eat some coconut and go spear a fish or some shit?
Listen, you're on a deserted island, so Yeah, be aware of what you have to wipe your ass with, because there ain't a whole lot of choices. All right. That's all I'm
going to
say.
Uh-oh, I lost. They had toilet paper. They had a whole commune set up. I lost, bitch. Don't tell me nothing, okay?
But we ain't going to with our luck, we wouldn't end up on the Lost Island. We'd end up on, like, the Doomed Island. We'd be like, you know, Tom Hanks' island he was on when he got, you know, lost.
No.
In our luck,
we'd wind up on the other, like, on a deserted part of Hawaii and not know that we were on a deserted part of Hawaii.
That's true.
Right.
If
you're
we
right.
just walked, you know, three miles around the island, we'd see civilization and know that we were rough. That we'd be okay.
Like, we see lights in the middle of the night, and we hear music, and we think it's a native, so we're too afraid. So we just hang out on the beach for, like, 4 years until we see some people. And we're like, where did you come from? Did you get marooned, too? No, bitch. We over here in the resort.
And development finally reached our end of the island. We were like, is that the hallway? Is that the gap?
Listen, I'll say this much, though. At least if you're on a stranded island, there wouldn't be any federal government to mandate what type of light bulbs you're going to buy.
He's still mad about the light bulbs.
I'm still mad about that a week later.
He's still mad about the light bulbs.
Oh, God.
Please, federal government, don't tell Mike J. which light bulbs he can or cannot have manufactured, because he's still upset about this.
And the part you know, he is he's bougie and buys the expensive light bulbs. So I don't even know why he's mad.
Listen, I didn't tell you guys last
everything.
Week. The apparent, I don't know if it's all coincidental or not, but my local government with National Grid had a special, and for $10, we went up and we waited in line. I swear we were like back in communist Russia, and we stood out in front of this giant box truck, and for $10, we got 2 desk lamps, including the CFL light bulb, 10 CFL light bulbs, 2 LED light bulbs, and 2 night lights for $10.
Who did this? Who did this? You did this? In real life?
I did. In real life, I did. I have pictures of proof.
She said in real life.
In real life, I did this.
No, I'm resorting to making stuff up for this radio show to prove that I have multiple personalities just to piss off my ex-drug dealer boyfriend.
Oh, my gosh. No, why? How did you even hear about something like that? Because I never hear about things like that. Not that I would do it in real life.
If something's going to be cheap, Mike J. is going to be there.
Listen, my neighbor found out about it. Apparently they do this every year. And don't you know I buy all this stuff. And for $10, come on, how could you not? I come home and I'm trying to find a place to put all these light bulbs. And I go under my kitchen sink, and it turns out I already had 4 of the CFL light bulbs under there. So I have 14 light bulbs in my house available at my disposal right now.
Baby, well, I got to tell you, I could always use a lamp or two, and you say you ain't need no lamps. So feel free to bring you over some lamps and some light bulbs over here to Mama's house, because I got a whole lot of lights. And actually, I got some lights out, and I don't want to go in the closet to get light bulbs.
I don't even like to stand in line at the club, more or less, stand in line to get light bulbs.
Nightlights and desk lamps. Like, they gave you lamps. That's the part. They got to be ugly as hell.
I have to tell you, they're actually, they're like a nickel finish, and they have a little white shade on them. They're actually, you know, tasteful. For $10, I mean, seriously, you get like 12 light bulbs, 2 lamps, nightlights. I mean, seriously.
Well, that's amazing,
like,
baby.
If there's a natural disaster, you can, like, plug in a lamp that you don't have no electricity at your house. Like, I mean, what would you need this kind of stuff for? Like, I don't understand.
You know, I don't know, it's one of those things that it's like when you go to the dollar store. You walk in and you really only intended to buy one thing, but because it's the dollar store, you go up and down every aisle. And, yeah, $50 later, you've got a whole cart full of shit that you really didn't need, you know.
Right, and so I need another toilet brush, and I need this off-brand lotion that smells kind of nice. I need to buy my nephew a coloring book with matching colors.
Don't forget the cologne,
James.
But, you know, I did figure it out. I think that I will not need to purchase light bulbs for, like, 500 years because of how long they're supposed to last. You know, I'm covered. I'm covered.
Wow. I've got a couple of lights out at my house, too, so if you want to send some over here,
I'll take Christmas is here, boo-boo. Christmas is here.
Christmas
come on, hook the bitch up with some light bulbs and some lamps.
That'll save
us. And then I
pull out
my gift card to Wegmans.
So you are, like, the one person who loves Wegmans, like, so much. You and Mike Dare have never met any two people who love a grocery store more than the two of you.
Because it's bougie. It's not like going into some nasty, like, Price Chopper or even Ralph's or whatever the hell we were in L.A. Like, that one in particular.
We weren't
like,
in Ralph's.
What was
we
it, Ronnie?
We were in Vons or something. I don't know what it was. But I have a bougie grocery store right across the street from me called Gelson. It's all organic. Everything's
right.
All fancy.
See,
and
don't you like that one better?
I do, but I don't want a gift card to that place.
So food is expensive,
know.
And then I gotta feed everybody when they come visit me, and I'm not complaining, but it gets pricey.
Listen, I know what I'm gonna get you for Christmas, Mama. I'm gonna get you a roll of quarters so that you will have plenty of quarters for when you go down to Aldi's and you need to put a quarter in the car to go shopping.
Okay, it's not gonna happen. I am not shopping at Aldi's. I don't care what happens. I will borrow money from somebody.
For those of us who don't live in Auburn, New York, what is Aldi's?
It's like
a
Stop and Shop. It's like one of those like chain grocery stores. Where everything's really cheap and none of it, there's like nothing name brand at all there. Everything's like off brand and you're a little sketchy on the produce and the meat kind of thing.
Listen, Karen, it's one step above the food pantry, okay? They don't even have shelves. The food is still stored in the box in which it was shipped in. Not that I'm making fun of people who have to go to the food pantry. Support your local food pantry.
Never.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, it's like the farmer's market, it sounds like.
Kind of.
Not as nice.
Huh. Not as nice, not as organic.
Yeah. No, next
we
time you're here, I'll take you to Aldi's.
You going
to
take me there? Please take me there.
Yeah.
We had a place when we were growing up in Texas called Sack and Save. So you had to, like, shop for your food, and then you'd save because you had to sack your own groceries.
Yeah, that's what you have to do at this store. Like, they ring you out, and they throw it back in the cart, and then you have to go over to the counter and bag it. So that's, exactly what it's like.
And make sure you bring your own bags, because if you don't bring your own shopping bag,
they will charge you
for bags.
Wow. Yeah, Pasadena, California, if you're in Pasadena, you have to pay for shopping bags.
And what's crazy is they pay a small fortune to their cashiers. Like, to work at one of these stores is outrageous.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I looked up, a cashier makes, like, $18.50 an hour. I'm like, are you kidding?
What?
Yeah. To sit on your ass.
Why don't anybody we know working there? That's a good job.
Because it's hard to get in, man. It's like a specialty club.
Oh,
believe me.
Like, you have to know somebody who knows somebody to work there.
Really?
Wow. I've applied.
Oh, yeah, because when
numerous
I found out
times.
You could go manage one of those places or be an assistant manager for, like, I don't know what it was, like $45-something or almost $50,000 a year, I was like, bitch, I will go cash out some groceries, okay? MasterCard, Visa, or EBT, please.
You guys have EBT, too? That's hilarious. I see places all over the place. They go, we take EBT. And I was like, what is EBT? And my man had to, like, break it down to me. Because, like, in Texas, it's called, like, food stamps. But I didn't know you could use your food stamps to, like, go to a restaurant. Like, it's
you can use that card
and you can buy dinner. I don't even know that. I would go apply.
You can use it for anything that's, like, not hot. Like, it can't actually be cooked. But you could go, like, at Wegmans, like, our grocery store, they sell subs. You can get a cold sub, but you can't get, like, a meatball sub because it's hot. But you could get a turkey sub.
Right.
It's the dumbest thing. But it's just how it works. But, yeah, like, they got – I mean, I literally had somebody call once when I was working at the club and ask if we take EBT.
Wow.
Because it's a benefit card. So you get your food stamps on it. But if you have, like, you know, some people have cash assistance, too. So they'll get cash on that card. You can use it like a debit card. But I'm like, no, bitch, we do not take EBT at the club. Like, I'm sorry, you're going to have to go to the ATM and get some cash off your shit, because no.
Right, or you need to, like, not try to use the federal government's money and my taxpayer dollars so you can party.
Yeah,
right.
Like,
speaking of taxpayer dollars.
You know what my favorite was? Is I had a daycare parent come in and be like, can I pay you in food stamps? Like, can I buy you some groceries this week instead of paying you?
Listen, really the amount of ketchup that they can get, I mean, you seriously can get, like, you know, 2 gallons of ketchup that'll last you for 30 years with those EBT cards.
Like, my friend got 3 babies, and she get, like, $600 a month of food stamps.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I wish I got that.
Right?
I wouldn't even be ashamed. I'd be all up in the grocery store buying steak.
Me. Me, too. Me, too.
I'll be like lobster, the big one. Yeah,
well,
that guy back there.
You know what the sad thing is?
Home.
You could actually make quite a bit amount of money and actually qualify for food stamps. That's, you may only get like $75 a month, but that'll buy you a couple steaks or some meat.
Dang, I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should go apply. But
well, that's like
thing.
Out
have
here.
People, have people tried to pay you? Because I know how times get tough. Have they ever tried to pay you, like, daycare and go, look, I'll give you some of this food stamp money?
Yeah, girl, that's what I just said. Like, I had a daycare parent, literally. Yes, they tried to pay me in food stamps. And the matter of fact, that's how it is, and I know this is illegal as shit, is I let them 1 week, and then after the first thing, I was like, yo, I can't. This is. I didn't know that it was illegal. I don't know that it was
illegal
on my end.
It's very
illegal. I didn't know.
Oh, yeah,
so when somebody
illegal.
Was like, they can't do that, like, they can go to jail, I was like, what? I was like,
you
oh, hell no.
You can go to jail, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know. Like, they were with me, so I was like, no, you can't do that no more. Like, and it was real awkward anyways, you know, like.
Yeah.
Listen, Jeffrey's daycare takes a lot of other alternatives besides cash. He's got this whole bartering system going on. Like, if you want to drop off your kids for a few hours, all you really need to do is clean a couple toilets. You know, I mean, it's really good.
You know what, Dad? It's the one mom. She cleans a lot of houses. So I was like, well, I was like, Mary, you come clean the house and we could work a little discount out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got no problem. Yeah, shit.
I would take it. That's a good, that's actually a good barter.
I think I'm all about bartering. I think it's a great opportunity. If you can do that with friends and stuff, I think it's a great way to kind of, you know, work life out when you can to save money for everybody, you know? Like, I think it's actually a great thing, so I'm all for it.
I hear you, shoot. I'm for
like,
it, too.
I'll give you some babysitting if you come over and do my landscaping or, you know, whatever.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Come over and do my landscaping. That is fabulous. No, because
you know what
he's
thinking? He's thinking he wants the boy from Desperate Housewives to come over and trim his bush. That's what he's thinking.
We all want him to come and do our landscaping. I don't even have a yard.
Will you water my plants for me?
Dallas.
Thank you.
He's now on Dallas, and I, like, am waiting for Dallas to come on since my scandal has
soon.
Ended.
Soon.
Really? How soon? What did you think of scandal? We never worry about scandal. February? That's when scandal comes back. It's going to all be on at the same time.
Yeah, but I think Dallas is on, like, Mondays. Oh, but Mike and Molly, oh, my God. That's going to be horrible. I need to go see right now if TNT has got an app, because otherwise I can't get rid of my cable after all. I lied.
I knew you were going to regret it. Like, I'm like, I didn't say nothing.
Could you tell me, is TNT?
Cable.
Now, see, Michael, I feel bad, though, because we kind of bartered, and he shared his Hulu account with me, and I offered him my Netflix, but he shares his Netflix with other people. And you can only do, like, you can have 4 apps on at any time. So you can have, like, 10 apps registered for it, but only 4 can be watching something at the same time. So it could get a little tricky. But I offered him because I have Showtime to go and HBO to go. So, you could have all the Night Got Stars and all that. So you could take that and watch all that stuff on your thing, and I'll share my, you know, I'll share that with you for your Hulu, or I'll give you my Netflix for your Hulu, or whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
I hope no one from Netflix is listening right now, because I'm sure we're all going to get cancellation emails very shortly.
Yeah, I don't have Netflix, so it doesn't count for me.
Oh, you want my password?
No, I'm good. I like my cable.
Okay, wait. What? Oh, I forgot. Now I need to go through right now. I'm going to the App Store on my iPad to see if TNT. Right, it's on TNT, right?
Dallas is on TNT.
I get Netflix for free though.
Do you?
Yeah, because after 30 days, all you got to do is cancel your account and create a new one. You get it for free. I have like 20 different email addresses, so I'm good for a while.
Oh my gosh.
No, Karen, yep. I'm good.
You're good? You got an app?
Yep, they've got an app.
Oh my
this
gosh.
Is what I really do watch all of my TV on my iPad. Like, I literally prop it up in the kitchen, and that's when I watch TV, is when I'm cooking. So, you know, I'm really not, and now that I'm finding, like, they really do have an app for every network. So I'm going to go get me a little HGTV app. And.
Ooh, yeah. I'm addicted to Property Brothers. Oh, my God, I love that show. I can't get enough. And Love It and List It. Like, what's going on with me, guys? I'm, like, all about Love It or List It.
Joe and I have been watching it. We're kind of in that moment. We're kind of having that issue in our lives right now. Are we going to love it or are we listing it?
Yeah.
Are we staying or are we moving? Like, and I'm really stressed out about this because it's going to be, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I'll keep you updated. Right. I may be loving it, girl, or I may be listening.
I know. I'm the same way. Like, I used to be addicted to, like, Say Yes to the Dress. And now that I've already done that, now I'm on to the houses. Like, I was like, I'm going to manifest us a house in this expensive-ass town that we live in. But I'm working. Me and God are working on it.
What's going to start worrying me, though?
A godly miracle.
After you get the house, if you start watching, like, baby shows and shit, that's why I'm going to
get no. No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm almost like Katrina Johnson, where I'm like, say no to babies. At least that's
Listen, are you sure? I mean, you know, we had Ricky Lake on a few months ago, and we could totally film it and sell it.
She made me say no even more. Like, Ricky Lake made me delay, because after seeing segments of that video, I shall never, ever want that to happen to me.
I mean, I'm sure we could, you know, somehow
market it. I thought she was beautiful. I thought she was brave, but I did not have a sense of empowerment. Like, I did not feel like I ever want to be that in that position ever.
Natural Power Ranger childbirth, starring Aisha
no
Campbell.
Thanks.
You don't like the ring?
No thanks. No thanks. Jeff was supposed to sell my wedding to, like, you know, Wii TV or something, but he never did. So, no, I'm definitely not going to sell my
because
birth.
There's problems, man. Oxygen canceled Tori and Dean, and that was their flagship most watched show. We're screwed, okay? If Oxygen is canceling Tori and Dean, we are screwed. Rude.
I know, but you're supposed to sell it to like TLC or something. I don't know who else. There's other networks, and you didn't do that. So since that fell through, I'm not gonna show my birth. Whenever that is.
I don't know, girl. I think Mike's got a point. I think we could get double more for the wedding. You know, for a baby, a Power Ranger baby.
Oh God, gross. No, absolutely not.
Okay. I have a confession session.
Where's the music? Has anybody found confession session music? We need old school, like, soap opera music.
With the organ playing. So, last night, I'm talking to Mike on the phone, and I'm, like, flipping through the movie channels, and what movie is on?
Power Rangers? Because, like, eight people, like, sent me a message about it today.
I was like, oh, my God. So I'm not really paying attention to what I'm watching, right? So I throw it on for a second, and it's, like, in a part where, like, you guys were, like, I don't know, fighting whoever. But it was funny. Like, you had a funny line
Getting
or whatever.
Well.
Like, I stayed up long enough to see it for that. And then I, like, turned it off, and I was like, Mike, I feel really bad that, like, I just watched it on TV, and, like, I think we should send her a check.
Right. Somebody should pick. Because Saban damn sure ain't. Somebody should pick.
Karen, I got you covered. I got you covered. I threw a quarter in my jar.
Thank you. Rainy day fun, please. Somebody, fans, please. Band together and get us safe. I know. I feel bad for myself that I ain't got paid for that. But that's a whole nother story.
Really,
whole
like, we
stuff.
Really had a conversation about how bad we feel, like, how crappy that is, that that's on TV and you're not getting paid.
Yeah, you shouldn't feel bad. But you know what you feel bad is when you go into this, like, multi-million dollar hospital, and it's called the Saban Children's Section Hospital. Like, he built a whole hospital wing, which I think is beautiful. But it's like, don't act like you're charitable when you fucked everybody along the way. Like, there's such a hypocritical thing to do. Like, it's such a hypocritical thing to do. Even in 2013, you could have paid people some decent money to come and do your, you know, mega forced reunion, and you paid them pennies. Don't act like you're a charitable person and have a hospital.
And then just insulted everybody.
Insulted people. Yeah, people are still hurt. Their feelings are hurt. Mine aren't hurt because I said no. But
there
are some people their feelings
are
still hurt.
With their grammatical errors? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, none of us had personal names. Like, I was like, come on, people. Ooh, Jeffrey, I got this really great gift. I didn't realize it was a gift, but a friend of mine sent it to me, and it was, like, in just in a box. You know how when they send you stuff, it's, like, it's not really packaged. Like, you know, some of the company sends it. They just send it from the company. So I opened it, not knowing it was a Christmas present. But I got some really good stuff. I got, like, this organic balsamic vinegar. I got organic extra virgin olive oil.
Ooh.
I got garlic-infused specialty extra virgin olive oil, lemon-infused extra virgin olive oil. I got truffle salt. I got all kinds of good stuff. I need to, like, cook.
Sounds like you need to make some chicken.
I know, right? Oh. I was like, shoot, I need to do something. Like, I need to... And then I sent my friend, I was like, well, I accidentally opened up my Christmas present you sent me. But can you send me some recipes on how to use this stuff? like, it's really cool. And then, like, she gave me this other thing, and it's like, gosh, I could open the thing. It's like, you know, like, it's crazy, but it's all this El Natural, like garlic, you know. Hold on. I'm trying to open it. I'm trying to use my power and your muscles as we speak. It's really difficult when it's been years. Okay, so get this. It is pomegranate fruity condiment, oregano-flavored condiment.
Say what?
Balsamic. Yeah, I mean, it's like all this stuff to cook with. Cherry-flavored. Like, it's oil, but it's, like, cherry-flavored, you know, oil.
Are you sure you're not meant to spread that on your man or something? That sounds like some sort of oil.
Michael,
you stink, right? You know, you stink. But, no, this is all, like, oils and stuff to cook with because she was, like, happy cooking. And I'm like, now can you send me a how-to cook with this shit? Like, this is a little too fancy even for me.
Yeah, I don't know about... Cherry-flavored oil, I mean, cherry-flavored chicken? I don't understand that one.
I don't know, but maybe you put it on a salad? I don't know. But I was like, leave it up to my rich friend to send me something so fancy, I don't even know how to use it.
Don't you hate
but
that?
It's like fabulous. Like, I was like, damn it, I need to cook with this lemon, you know, flavored olive oil. Like, when would I use a lemon-flavored olive oil? But I'm going to.
Take it out from our good friend that's been on the show.
I know. Chris can probably tell us because he's extra healthy. You know, he probably could tell me what to do and how to make some raw foods out of with this flavored, lemon-flavored olive oil and the balsamic vinaigrette. Right?
I'm sure.
Because he did. I mean, it's an amazing story. I mean, if you didn't tune in last week and listen to the whole, you know, Chris beats cancer story, but this is a man who was diagnosed, was it stage 4? He had stage 4 cancer.
Stage 3.
Like terminal.
Stage 3.
Which is bad. I mean, it's like you're in a fight on stage 3. And he, you know, used complete raw food. He went completely off the grid, didn't go with the modern medicine, went with more unconventional things. And guess what? he's cancer-free. So is it a fluke? Is it a coincidence? Maybe. Or is it that you change your lifestyle and your body forgives you for the things that you do? I mean, it's right. definitely up for discussion, and people have said it a million times. And I'm so glad he's on the show, because you're going to get the second half tonight, and it'll tell you, I mean, he's very, very, very informative. Right, guys?
That's right.
Absolutely.
So stick around for part two of Crispy Cancer.
People are just being misled. You know, they're just being misled, and they don't know the real survival odds. But it's crazy at the same time, because the reason my site has gotten so popular is because there are so many people looking for options, for alternatives.
Right. Well,
right.
I think
so the tide is turning.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, like, for me, it was really kind of odd timing when I had saw that clip on YouTube of you and Ricky, because over the summer I had just started the Natalia Rose Raw Detox thing with some people that I haven't I run a daycare during the day. So some of the parents were doing this, and I was like, I want to do something different. Like, I don't feel good. I'm always tired. And I started doing it, and we got a juicer. And it was fantastic. Like,
right.
I felt completely different right away. Like, I noticed a difference immediately.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's been a struggle. Like, I'm not always very successful with it. You know, one of the things she had talked about was it took her 7 years to kind of do it. You know, you obviously had a very, very strong reason to do it and stick with it and not kind of flubber back and forth.
Sure.
But I think people don't realize if you just tried this, you know, maybe we wouldn't even get to a point where people are getting the cancer, because we're kind of getting it beforehand. And so you...
That's right.
How long was it before you went back to the doctor? Because I'm assuming you're going for checkups still, right?
I never went back to see the doctor that told me I was insane. But I
right.
started working with a local nutritionist, naturopath, who referred me to an integrative oncologist who monitored my blood work and ordered a few scans and did IV, vitamin C IVs. And he was a great guy. He was 85 years old and just did not care anymore about following standard protocol. He really cared about results and was studying Eastern medicine and traveled to China frequently and just really wanted to, you know, find therapies that would help, that would work, that would help people. So that, he was a godsend as well. But I started working with him, and, just over time, what we knew right away is that my blood work, my white blood cell count was very low, which is like immunosuppression, right? It's a suppressed immune system. And so when you have a suppressed immune system, your body is a place where cancer can thrive, you know? And that was what we were trying to heal, ultimately. You know, if you have cancer, your immune system is broke. Right? That's the real problem. The tumor is not your problem. The tumor is a symptom, because cancer is a systemic metabolic disease. Your entire body is sick. You have cancer because you're sick. You're not sick because you have cancer. And so, the way the medical model views cancer is they only treat the symptom. Oh, you got a tumor. We got to get rid of the tumor. We get rid of the tumor, we can get rid of your cancer. But what happens is you can cut a tumor off, you can shrink it with chemo sometimes, you can shrink it with radiation sometimes, and that's fine, but it's going to come back, because your
right.
body is going to continue to produce tumors if it is a cancerous body, okay? And so even just this idea of, oh, we've got to kill every cancer cell in your body with chemo, it's a ridiculous idea, because the human immune system is designed to identify and eliminate cancer cells. It does it every day in healthy people. And so the best therapies, and this is an emerging field in conventional medicine, is immunotherapy, where they are figuring out how to teach people's immune cells to seek out and target cancer cells and kill them. But that'll be a long time before that's mainstream, if it ever gets mainstream. But there have been reports about it in the last few years. And they've been doing it outside the U.S. for many years.
Right. Well, it seems outside the U.S. a lot of things go down differently. And I really feel that in this country,
yeah.
as sad as it is, it's money-driven.
And it's all about where are the big corporations going to make money. Not that I really want to get into that, but, you know, I really feel like that's the problem. That's why this is not being covered on every news channel and on every talk show.
That's right. And I can here's the simplest way to explain it. Have you ever heard the term science-based medicine? Evidence-based medicine? Those are the terms that have been coined to describe conventional medicine, Western medicine, that it's science-based and that it's evidence-based. And that everything else is basically implying that anything outside of that is not science-based or evidence-based. But the truth is, conventional Western medicine is not science-based medicine. It's profit-based medicine. And
right.
It's patent-based medicine, first and foremost. And they are only interested in science to the extent that it can produce a patentable, highly profitable treatment, drug. And as a result of this model, they ignore all clinical nutrition research, all lifestyle medicine research, completely. So it's not really science-based. It's patent-based.
Right.
And despite
it's
the fact
horrible.
That there have been hundreds, thousands of studies in over many, many decades on nutrition, clinical nutrition, these are published scientific research studies in international journals showing the power that nutrition has to reverse disease. I mean, it's just as simple as that.
Right.
Cancer, diabetes, heart disease, you name it. And that's the system the U.S. is in. It's a patent and profit-based medical system. It is not really – they're not really concerned with results as much as they are concerned with profit because they're going to get paid whether you live or die.
Right.
Whether you live or
hey,
die.
It's really horrific. Like, it really is a crime against the people of the country, really of the world.
The average cancer patient's worth about $300,000, over $300,000 in revenue to the cancer industry. That's from drugs, surgery, radiation, doctor's visits, blood work, CT scans, PET scans, MRIs, you know, all that stuff. Each patient is worth a lot of money, and they want to perpetuate that system. They want to maintain the status quo. They do not want to change it. They just develop new drugs. Really, because patents on old drugs wear out. So they need to develop new drugs to keep doing the same thing.
Which
and
is
the
kind
longer
of alarming.
They treat you, the more money they make. What's that?
It's kind of alarming.
It is. No, it's so tragic. It's brutal what they're putting people through. That literally, they're putting people through hell on earth. And people are convinced that they have to suffer in order to get well. And most of them, they all suffer, but most of them don't get well. And they get all these false reports. Well, you're cancer-free. Yay! 6 months later, oh, it's back. Oh, no. That means you need more treatment. So they go through hell all over again. And then after treatment, well, we did shrink the tumor some this time, so that's good news. But you're going to need some more treatment. And it's a downward spiral. And the most tragic thing about it is most cancer patients are very optimistic and hopeful and have a strong will to live in the beginning. I'm going to beat this. I'm going to fight it. Give me the toughest drugs you got. I'm going to win this thing. I'm going to be a cancer warrior or whatever, right?
Right.
But after enduring so much brutality and suffering, you know, with these treatments over the weeks and months and sometimes years, the will to live slowly erodes, and eventually it's gone because the cancer patient is just tired of suffering, and there's no hope. They have no hope they'll ever get well because the treatments have failed them over and over and over again. And at some point, they're dropped off the end of the conveyor belt and sent home to die. And that's when many of them start looking for alternative therapies, something else. They don't know what it is. That's when they get on the internet and start looking. But
well, it seems to me that everybody starts looking in Europe. Like, that's where they go is they start looking outside of the U.S.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a lot of, in Mexico, there's tons of, you know, many, many, many alternative clinics that use, some of them use chemo and radiation and stuff like that, but they use a whole lot more, you know, and they have a lot more therapies at their disposal. But some of them don't use any, you know, some of them are very specific and they don't use any therapies that are destructive. They only use natural non-toxic therapies and nutrition. So, and to me, that makes so much more sense, and that's why I did it. I was like, I don't want to do anything that will hurt me anymore, that will make me any worse, any sicker, any more toxic. I only want things that will support life and health in my body. And so, you know, it's a simple idea, but, and truth is simple, by the way. Truth is simple. Lives are complicated.
Right.
And
well, and you're living proof.
Towards simplicity. Yeah,
you're living proof.
And
it's been, how many years have you been cancer-free again?
10 years. Look, it's 10 years this month, and it's not just me. I'm not proof that this works. There are thousands of people like me that are proof that, that nutrition gives the body what it needs to heal and that the body can heal cancer if you radically change your diet and your life. You have to change everything. You have to examine everything in your life that can be contributing to your diseased state. And it ranges from environmental pollution to poor diet to unhealthy lifestyle habits, prescription drug use, alcohol and tobacco, and stress. Stress is a major, major promoter of disease. Everybody knows it, but most people don't understand it.
Right.
Every cancer patient I've coached and counseled has had major chronic stress in their life for many months or even years leading up to their diagnosis. And that is always what breaks down health. Stress is like the stress is the tipping point. It's always the tipping point in health.
Well, and it's things we've heard about for years, too, because if you look at, like, there's Howard Stern with all the back issues, and he went to the doctor that was like, it's in your head. It's from you, it's all of the badness in your life coming out.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I mean, I realized that because I had big back issues. And then once I kind of realized, like, it went along with what was going on in my life, then my back would go out and I couldn't walk. And then once I got a grip on that, it was like, okay, it's time to change some things around. I mean, I still have issues, but it's never, it has not gone out like it used to since. And it's been over
two years. And unhealthy emotions, unhealthy your mind, your emotions, your spiritual life, when those parts of your life are unhealthy and full of negativity and negative emotions like envy and jealousy and bitterness and unforgiveness, resentment, prejudice, you know, all these negative emotions, when you harbor those emotions and being critical and judgmental of others, when you harbor those things and they're a strong part of your life, they will make you physically sick. They will translate physical sickness in your body.
Well, and I think everybody has a person in their life that they know is very negative, not a happy person, and they're usually the most ill person you've ever met in your life. They don't leave the house. They smoke a pack a day. Maybe they're an alcoholic. You know, I think everybody knows that person, but they're surrounded by negativity, and they're so skewed that, you know, I feel like, you know, like they're actually the reason why they're sick. And I thought what you said in the beginning of this was very true, was that you have to kind of accept responsibility. Like what you're putting into your body, what you're doing, what you're putting out into the universe, I think affects everybody.
Yeah.
And definitely affects your health.
It's bigger than your diet. You have to heal your life. I mean, you have to step back and evaluate your entire life, the people in it, your work, obviously your diet and your lifestyle choices, like partying all night, smoking, drinking, drug use, all that, you know, and the stress. You have to look at it all because these are all health-destroying factors. And cancer is like the perfect storm when all of those health-destroying factors converge in your life at the same time and stay there for an extended period of time, that is what will break you down, and your body will become a place where disease can thrive, whether it's heart disease, cancer, hypertension, like, you know, with back problems, like you said, it's like hypertension, where your body is just tensed up. you know.
Right. All your muscles,
that's
what it was.
And stuff. Yeah.
So you're walking around a ball of stress. You're getting sick. You're tired. And again, like when I started eating clean, you know, and even before that, just when I started mentally trying to make the change. And then doing that, like, there was such a big difference. And the weight that just kind of dropped off so quickly was insane to me. Like, you know, because I've gained all my weight back. So I'm, you know, big boy again. And, you know, I was like, I need to do this. Like, I want to feel better. I want to be healthy. And the weight just kind of started, poof, it just slid off. Like, insane amount of weight. And I was never hungry. That was the crazy thing about this. I think people are like, oh, you know. No, we were never hungry. Like, we were always full, felt satisfied, but you never felt that, like, oh, I don't want to move.
That's right. Well, you know, when you eat fruits and vegetables a lot, yes, they fill you up, they satisfy you, they give you energy. And the thing is, you can pig out on them. You know, you can stuff
yourself that was the best part.
With bananas or a pineapple or whatever. You never have to deprive yourself. You never have to be hungry. But the thing is, they're nutrient-rich, but they're also very low-calorie, just in a very practical level. They're low-calorie. And so when you compare that to very high-calorie processed junk food, you eat the same amount, you know, in poundage of food, you're going to lose weight.
Right.
It's just going
to
happen.
Which people do not seem to really – and I didn't really know. You know, I didn't know – and when my friend Kenny brought the book over and I'm looking at the recipes, I'm like, oh. And if they weren't here and did it with me, I would have never even tried it because I was like, there's no way in hell. Like, this is not going to work. Like, this is going to taste like crap. Like, it's not. And I found that my palate started changing. And then we went on vacation and slipped a little bit, you know. So it's always gone back and forth. But I did notice, too, I am very fond of a good glass of wine. And if I would have a couple glasses of wine when I was, you know, eating raw and detox, I would get sick every time. I tried it twice, and I was like, okay, I'm not, no more wine, because it's making me sick. And that's telling me something. Like, I've never gotten sick, and I'm not, you know, I'm not out drinking all night long. I'm just having a few glasses of wine, and I end up sick. It's telling me something that this is not good.
That's right. It becomes very sensitive to poison. Anything that is poisonous and bad for it, it becomes very sensitive to it. But when you keep putting junk in every day, it becomes desensitized.
Right.
And that's the difference, you know. When you make a change, then all of a sudden, your tastes change. Food tastes different. Junk food tastes worse. And health food tastes better. It happens.
It's so true. So, so true. And I feel horrible because I know that we've kept you over. But I really could spend a whole week talking to you about this. I find it so fascinating. And I'm so grateful that you joined us tonight. And tell everybody again your website. And do you have a Twitter page, Facebook page? Where can everybody find you?
Yeah.
How can they talk to
you? You can find me, Chris Beat Cancer. It's chrisbeatcancer.com. It's Chris Beat Cancer on Twitter, on Facebook. Yeah, I'm on YouTube. I've got a YouTube channel with lots of videos. So I'm pretty easy to find.
That is amazing. And it's people like you that I think are going to help kind of turn things around for the rest of us.
Yeah, and let me close with this, because I think it just really wraps up something that you touched on a couple times, is, you know, a healthy diet is not about perfection. You know, it's about making a significant, especially for someone that doesn't have any health challenges, but it's making a significant switch in your choices. So a real simple example is the Western diet is about 20% healthy and 80% unhealthy. And you want to flip that ratio around. You want to look at what you're eating on a weekly basis and make a decision. I'm going to be super healthy 80% of the time. And then the other 20%, I'm going to eat whatever I want.
Right.
That is an excellent approach and very doable approach for anyone, for anybody. Just think about it 80-20. That means, you know, 5 days a week, 6 days a week, super healthy, no compromises, and then you have a free day where you're like, I mean, whatever I want today. I'm going to eat pizza and ice cream and whatever. Because it's what you're doing 80% of the time that matters.
Now, do you do anything cooked at all?
Yeah. I eat cooked food. Absolutely. I have a very high metabolism. And so
lucky.
Your metabolism, your metabolic type, your blood type, and your body type really do determine the ideal diet for you. So people that gravitate towards being overweight, that gain weight easily, do really, really well. Huh?
No, that's me.
Okay, so if that's you, people like that do really, really well on a largely raw diet. They do terrific on it. People like me that have a super high metabolism, that have a hard time gaining weight, need to eat more cooked food. So I eat cooked food every night for dinner. Big plate of cooked veggies for dinner every night. But during the day, I eat lots of raw food, so smoothies, juice, salads, stuff like that.
Right. And, yeah, that's what we did as well. During the day, it was all raw. And then at night, we did different things. We do, like, the cauliflower crust pizza. And everything
was
natural, organic, and we did goat cheese.
Yep. And I eat about three times a week. You know, that's, for me, for my metabolism, my body type, that makes the most sense for me.
Right. See, and that's great. I think that's another thing that people need to know is that you're not just doing completely raw, but you're having a different combination of things, and that it's not just one level.
Yeah, it's not all or nothing. There are people out there that want to make it all or nothing, that you need to be all raw or you're not healthy, you know, or you need to be vegan or you're not healthy. And the truth is, I mentioned this earlier in the call, just to come full circle, they've done epidemiological studies on people groups all over the world, and the healthiest people groups have this in common. I'm talking about people with the lowest incidence of disease and the longest lifespan have all had this in common. They ate a plant-rich diet, tons of fruits and vegetables and grains, and very little meat. But none of these people groups were vegan. They just ate very small amounts of meat, a few times a week, usually, if that, because a lot of these are also poor people that, you know, meat is scarce. It's a special occasion to eat meat for them. And so, again, they're just not eating meat three times a day like we are in America because it's subsidized by the government and it's super cheap. So, again, it's not an all-or-nothing deal. It's just making a significant change towards eating lots of whole food from the earth, tons of fruits and vegetables every day. It'll make a huge difference in your health.
Absolutely. Chris, I cannot thank you enough, and I hope you will come join us again. And I would love to talk more about the diet and what you do really on the website and get some callers in. I cannot thank you enough. Come back anytime. And everybody needs to go check out the website, the YouTube channel, follow them on Twitter, get the information, and, you know, share it with somebody that has cancer, because I'm sure everybody listening knows somebody or knows somebody who knows somebody. You know, it's just
Absolutely. Some
research. Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime.
My pleasure.
Wow, that was such a great interview. Special thanks to Chris Wark for coming on with us. And special thanks to Mama for yakking so much. We couldn't all get a word in edgewise, but it was very important.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Make sure you check. Make sure you check out our website, myuncensoredradio.com, for some really cool blogs and recipes right out of Mama's kitchen. And also head over to ChristyCancer.com and see you next tomorrow night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Ciao.
God bless.